This is KNKX News. I'm Ed Ronco. The Seattle Gilbert and Sullivan Society is staging the operetta Princess Ida this month. The production has a fresh take, in part because the theater company faced controversy 5 years ago over a different production. The director of Princess Ida, Crystal Dawn Munkers, dropped by the KNKX studios, along with Catherine Wheatbrook, president of the group's board of directors. They told me that because Gilbert and Sullivan wrote in the late 19th century, the plots of their shows live in a certain time in history, but the music is beloved, and there's good reason to try to modernize the rest. Crystal, I want to start with you. Gilbert and Sullivan had a very particular style in their operettas. I'm thinking in particular of that fast, kind of rapid fire, kind of
patter song.
Yes.
Is what it's called. Yes.
Yeah.
which is one of the mainstays of Gilbert and Sullivan. Most people know I am the very model of a modern major general.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quote the fight's historical from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical.
What's the one called in Princess Ida? What would you point to there?
King Hildebrand has two. There's the one, the rum-tum-tum of the military drum and the guns that go boom-boom in the first act. And then at the end of the second act, he has the song he's singing to Princess Ida, I'm a Peppery Potentate.
Princess Ida opened originally 1884.
Yes.
The program for your production mentions that Gilbert saw the work in particular as, and I'm going to quote here, lampooning feminism, women's education, and Darwinism. Can you talk a little bit about what was going on in Victorian England at the time that put those topics center stage?
So anytime you have a period of progress, you have a period of fear and retention and resisting that progress. The Victorian era in itself was a reaction to the era of enlightenment, much more relaxed mores around the Roman Catholic Church. People were denying the absolute monarchy quite a bit. And the reaction to that was the Victorian period, which was a return to a much more conservative way of life. So this late 1880s piece was really desperately trying to hold on to those morals, to that way of life.
The first thing we see on stage are a bunch of soldiers trotting around, and then to the sides, women dressed as maids.
Yes. Feels very dull and utilitarian and almost claustrophobic.
Then when we get to Act Two at Ida's university. Felt to me like the lighting became warmer, the stage became brighter.
It actually became bigger.
Bigger.
There's two sides to the proscenium, and then there's a lid, and that lid is about 20 to 30 feet lower in the first act, and then is brought up for the second and third act, just to change from a contained stage to a lifted, expanded stage.
Typically, Princess Ida is performed as a battle of the sexes, but Crystal Dawn Munkers says she wanted to send a different message.
It's not us and them. And it shouldn't be us and them. And the solution to misogyny is not misandry. The solution is open-mindedness versus stagnancy. It is tolerance versus enmity. So I really wanted to start there.
So some things are different. For example, in most productions of Princess Ida, the character King Gama has three sons. In this production, they are daughters and warriors, but masquerading as sons, so they will be taken seriously by the male military culture.
We are warriors three, sons of Gama Rest.
This production is part of a series that Seattle Gilbert and Sullivan is doing called Challenging the Canon. Catherine, you're president of the board. Tell me, where did this idea come from for this series?
Frankly, it was The Mikado, our 2014 production.
The Mikado is set in Japan, and it can draw criticism for relying on Asian caricatures and tired stereotypes. And when Seattle Gilbert and Sullivan did the show, they used a mostly white cast. A column by Sharon Chan in the Seattle Times called it Yellow Face in Your Face. The ensuing controversy attracted international press attention. Catherine Wheatbrook was not on the Gilbert and Sullivan Society board at the time, but she was part of Seattle's arts community and watched it all unfold.
I don't want to understate at all the offensiveness that was represented in our production. We are still brought up as how not to do that. We failed at the time to address that and to change then. Since then, we've had a complete transformation of leadership. We've gone through training. We're communicating with the theater community. We have really looked at ourselves and at our community and made very conscious decisions to change. All the works, the entire 13, 14 piece canon needs some degree of change. The idea is to systematically go through these pieces and update them to make them socially relevant and responsible.
How do you decide which works still have a place and what should maybe kind of be retired?
I think the first litmus test is, can it be changed? And then there's the should it conversation. Is there, once you peel away the layers that are problematic and offensive, is there something left? Is there a foundation to work with? We're very lucky in that the GNS canon is completely in the public domain. So we have free run to pick and choose and change and cut and add and create something amazing. Will it look exactly like the Mikado of 2014 or the past? Of course not. It shouldn't. Will it take some of the music and some of the storytelling and cast it responsibly and include the community and have that conversation and use it as an opportunity to change the dialogue around pieces like this? Absolutely.
To start reworking Gilbert and Sullivan, they took some pretty active steps. For example, they reached out to contacts from throughout their careers. They went to local college and community theater shows to note the standout performers and ask them to audition. They spent hours making phone calls and sending messages, all of this to try to get a more diverse cast and start the hard work of building trust.
It's exactly not just putting up the audition notices in four places. It is being very intentional, and it's continuous, and it is so worth it.
There are conversations that are very difficult to have, and I think sometimes when you're in the middle of those conversations, it can feel hopeless. I don't hear that from either of you.
Well, we have to have these conversations. This is the way. When my theme for Ida, you know, enmity versus tolerance, that's what art is, right? Like it is finding a way to get us talking, and sometimes the conversations are not easy, but they need to be had, and it's how we progress. It's how we move to the next expansion.
I am hopeful. It in two very short years, we've been able to move the bar. That gives me hope. I've seen progress. I haven't slogged away at this for 10 years and gotten nowhere. But I think we always have to have hope. And I'm certainly with a team of people that's willing to put the work in to make that hope something that pays off.
Crystal, Catherine, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Catherine Wheatbrook is president of the board at the Seattle Gilbert and Sullivan Society. Crystal Dawn Munkers is directing their production of Princess Ida, which wraps up this weekend. It's on stage at the Bagley Wright Theater through Sunday.